Welcome to MilSpouse House, where we discuss our personal experiences with being a military spouse, answer your questions, and try to navigate this journey together. I'm Erin.
And I'm Molly. So come on in, grab a coffee, get cozy, and let's have a chat. All right, so today is just kind of an introduction as to who Erin and I are and how we became military spouses. I am actually the wife of a Navy veteran, and so I am no longer a military spouse, but like Erin, we were just chatting, and she said, once a military spouse, always a military spouse, and that's so true, so true, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But my story... So my husband and I have been together, it's been almost a decade. Holy cow.
Oh, wow.
It's been almost a decade since we've been together. We started dating when I was in high school and he was in college. So kind of an important piece is that we have always been a long distance couple. So He, you know, because I was in high school and he was in college, we didn't live in the same place until we moved in together right before he deployed. So that's kind of a weird thing, but it actually prepared us really well for military life. We are 4 years out. So he did 4 years in, and now we're 4 years out from his service, if that makes sense. And so we are stationed in New Orleans. Well, technically, we were stationed in Mississippi, but we lived near New Orleans, and we absolutely loved it down there. Hot, so hot, but we really did love our time in New Orleans. And he had two deployments, 6 month deployments each one, and then he had less than a year in between.
So that's so hard.
Yeah, that was hard. And then for one of his last deployment, I was pregnant during the entire deployment. But that story is for another episode, because that's a whole story in itself.
Which I know a lot of our listeners will be able to relate to.
Yes.
And you have two kids, Molly.
Yes. So we had our first little girl in New Orleans. She is now three. And then we just had another little girl, and she is almost 8 months. Life is crazy, but crazy good for sure.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I just have pets, no children. But I love that though, because I think that, you know, our audience, some people will have children and some people won't. And it's great that we have two different perspectives, and also with your husband being out now and you all being out for some time, that is also another perspective that I think is so important to hear about. And, you know, you've been in the game a little longer than me, so I can't wait to learn from you as well.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be nice to kind of bounce things off of each other. Cause yeah, I could maybe, you know, just like I hope to help our listeners, maybe I can help you, you know.
Yeah,
it's always nice to get different perspectives, especially from other military spouses or spouses of veterans now.
Yeah, I've been an Army wife for 2 years, a little over 2 years. So we got our anniversary is in August. I'm trying to think of the date because it's 2021 now, so 2019. And our story is a little similar to yours. I feel like civilian families.
Civilian families, yeah.
Don't share the same stories when it comes to getting married as we do. Like, we have very unique experiences. Sure. And I know we're not the only ones. So when I say my, you know, how long have we been together? How did we get married story? I'm always a little nervous to tell civilians because I'm like, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
But military people get it.
Yeah.
So my husband's in the Army, and he's been in the Army for about 4 years. And we actually grew up together. We've known each other since we were 11. And we grew up in Eastern Kentucky, so a very small town. One middle school, one high school, so everyone knows each other. So we've known each other for a very, very long time. And I have always had a crush on this man, like eighth grade. Yes. When we got married, my mom found like my diary from when I was younger.
Oh my god!
And it had his name all over it. But so we were friends in high school. You know, always kind of joked with each other about having crushes on each other, but nothing really came of it. I think I was too nervous. I liked him too much. And then probably about senior year, after a little bit after we graduated, little more of a thing, but we both went our separate ways. So he went off to college and then Nashville for a little while and then back to college. And then I went off to a college close to Cincinnati. So about 2 hours away from my hometown, and we both lived our lives, kind of kept in contact every once in a while, every blue moon. And then while he was deployed, I reached out and I just started asking how he was doing, and we talked every day and as much as we could. And, you know, fell in love over a deployment. And we got married maybe a month after he got back home. So,
oh my gosh, that's so unique. That is such a unique story. So like you, oh my gosh, that's so cool that you connected while he was deployed. I bet that was such a huge support for him and kept his mind off of a lot of stuff that was probably going on.
Yeah. He was in Qatar. And, you know, it was so fascinating because we knew each other as kids, but it was, you know, we were different people now and grown up a little bit. And, you know, he's turning 30 this year. I just turned 29. And so we were a little bit older and had kind of a grasp of what we wanted. And we both wanted something more than just dating and getting to know each other through a deployment. There's only conversation and there's only getting to know each other. We would play this game where, you know, we would look up just random questions. You can do it on your phone. It's like 100 questions to ask someone. And we would do that all the time. We would just ask each other everything. And we got married in my front yard at my parents' house in the woods by a creek with all of our friends and family. And it was beautiful. It was very stressful, I will say, planning a wedding by yourself. 'Cause I planned 2 months before he got back. So we knew we were going to get married. I feel like this happens a lot with military spouses. You know you're going to get married. Mm-hmm. And then so the engagement process isn't the same as other people's, but he did actually get to ask me, you know, he talked to my parents, he asked me on a rooftop of this castle in Lexington that's now a restaurant. It was so I did get to have that, yes. But planning a wedding by yourself while your fiance is deployed is very stressful, so I'm sure some of you can relate to that. But we married. I moved to El Paso. He was at Fort Bliss. I'd never lived that far from my family before. And then right as the pandemic hit, we get word that we're moving to South Korea. So now we're in South Korea and we've been here for a year. And, you know, we're talking across the world right now, which is so in line with what military life is like.
That's
long distance relationship.
If that doesn't scream military wife life, I'm not sure what does. That we're literally recording this on opposite sides of the world. Like, how fitting,
Friday for
right?
You, it's Saturday for me.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's amazing how much your life changes so quickly and so much when you become a military spouse. And I think it's hard to grasp at first. I was told what I was getting into. I was told I would be moving. I was told maybe I'd move across the world. But until it happens, you really don't know how you're going to feel. You don't know what to expect. And I guess that's why we really started this, was just to give people out there a support system, because, you know, I felt alone for a long time doing this, because I just had no idea what I was doing. And I still kind of don't know. I've only been in this for 2 years, and there's still so much that I'm experiencing that is new. And
on that, I was literally alone when I got kind of trapped in it. So I graduated college, and then as soon as I graduated college, I moved to New Orleans and moved in with my husband. And then 2 weeks later, he deployed. So
heartbreaking.
And we knew it was coming, but it was moved up a little bit. So we thought that we would have at least like a month to settle in together before he deployed. But true military fashion, you know, you can't plan more than a week in advance. and so I moved to New Orleans and he deployed. And there I was in a city that I knew literally no one. Like, absolutely no one. All my friends and family were in Michigan. And now my husband, or well, yeah, now my husband was, you know, across the world. Yeah, it was crazy. And I actually became his command ombudsman, because I kid you not, I Googled how to get in touch with like other military wives. I Googled that. And that is, it's my hope that like our podcast comes up on that Google search for other women, you know, because there were at the time no resources. Yeah. I was like, I felt like I was looking for like a manual. And and like, I just couldn't find one.
Let me tell you, I walked into clothing and sales on Post. I was like, where's the manual to this military wife business?
Oh, that's on aisle three.
Yeah. And I'm like, what are all these terms everyone is saying to me? What are these acronyms? What am I doing? And
I had flashcards. I had flashcards. I'm so serious. I had flashcards, rank, acronyms, anything, everything that confused me. I had flashcards.
Oh,
I still have them somewhere. They're buried somewhere.
I still Google. I see someone's rank on their chest, and I'm like, okay, that I know that's okay. Yes, that's what I think it is. But I walked into clothing sales, and I see, you know, all the books, and I'm looking, and I finally find Guide to Being a Military Wife. And this book is so dated. It basically was a rundown of how to put on parties, what attire to, and it is important to know what attire to wear at what event, but the book didn't give me the answers that I was looking for. It was a lot of superficial advice and not for the modern day spouse. I was just looking for something different. You know, I felt, and I'm sure you felt this way too, like your life was kind of taken almost. Like you're excited to be married, you're excited to have this new experience, but you've cut off at a chapter without really finishing it, is how I felt, at least.
Yeah. Definitely. And at the time, like I have so many women that I've connected with over the years, now, that I was like, man, you would have been so helpful. Our friendship would have been so helpful for me when I was like literally plopped into military life, like I was. And so that is so important to find other military spouses, because it really is, or just significant others. You don't have to be married. Usually, kind of like you said, Erin, usually marriage is pretty quick in the military for various reasons. I'm sure that all of our listeners are like nodding their heads like, uh-huh. but like it just finding those people that understand, it's so important to find support. And that's one of the biggest things that I would, you know, a lesson that I've learned is you have to find your support system and just wrap it around yourself. Cause you can't go at this alone. And that's why we're here. You know, that is why we are here. Erin and I, we are coworkers, and we found that this is an area that is lacking on the internet, on mm-hmm. podcasts, in the world. And especially with the pandemic, this never ending pandemic that we're in.
Oh my gosh.
it's even more important because you're not, you know, I don't know about the base that you're on, Erin, but the one, so my husband still works on a base. So that's important to note. Mm-hmm. I guess I should have said that. So we're in Southern California now that he's out, but he still works on a military base in San Diego. Now he teaches civilians and military what he used to do in the military, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
That's the most simple way I can explain it. But that base is like locked down still. Like it depends, I guess it depends on who your CO is, and what your rules are and where you're at. But in terms of the pandemic, like they still have to wear obviously masks. And like a lot of the gyms are closed down. The hotels are closed down. Like it's still pretty locked down. So I'm assuming that like we used to call it family forced fun when yes. he was in it. But like I'm assuming that like the family forced fun, like picnics and outings where you would be able to meet people, are not happening.
Right. So. We've gone back and forth here in Korea, and it is so hard to meet people. I just met a friend who I really clicked with. She's an Air Force spouse. And of course, like most of you probably have experienced, she moves in a month. I just met her 2 weeks ago, and we kicked it off and, you know, hit it off, and she's moving with her husband. They're PCSing, and you know, it's kind of feels so like starting all over again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And thankfully with all of the technology that we have, like you can still stay in touch. Cause even the people that I, you know, I'm still in touch with the people that I met in New Orleans, you know, and so it's a lot harder. And sometimes that face-to-face communication is mm-hmm. what you're needing, but yeah, it's definitely still possible to stay in touch these days, but it's still so tough.
If you are a new spouse, wherever you're stationed at, go on Facebook and type in the post or base that you're at, and there will be a spouse page for that area. And, you know, definitely I recommend, you know, going on there because they're going to tell you all kinds of stuff about the area that you're in. Mm-hmm. A lot of these spouses are very active on those pages and have a lot of information. I know for us, we have restricted cities that we're not allowed to go to because of COVID. They're hotspots. So military families and, you know, anyone associated can't go to those areas. It's to keep us safe. But I'm not very good about checking it every day, but my neighbors, so I live in an area off base, but everyone is military, mostly Air Force. And so my neighbor, she is on it with what is restricted for that day. And she always posts in our spouse group, and it's just so helpful. And when I was in El Paso, And I'm sure a lot of you felt this way. You know, I had a career before I moved and was married, and I didn't have that career anymore when I moved to El Paso. And I felt very lost. And, you know, what is my identity? Who mm-hmm. am I now? And I was just asking for some advice on how to find a job in El Paso. You know, what kind of you know, how does a military spouse go about finding a job when you know you're going to move in 2 years or however long you're there? We thought we were going to be there longer. Obviously, we're there only for a year, but I posted on this page and got a lot of mixed answers. But I had one girl reach out to me and privately, and she was like, I understand how hard this is, and I would love to talk to you about it. And then we became best friends, and she really helped me kind of find my own path and my own way. And anytime I had a hard time, you know, she was there to listen because she understood. But it took me reaching out and actually getting over that initial fear of putting myself out there to post on that spouse page and to have somebody respond and make a connection. You know, it takes a lot of strength, I think, to also put yourself out there when you just moved.
Definitely. Definitely. Oh, that's always hard. It's like making friends as an adult is so hard. So, so hard. It's so awkward. It's like it brings you right back to like kindergarten, like sharing crayons, you know, like, gosh, how did we do this in kindergarten? You know, it's like, hey, can we be friends? Like, do we exchange numbers? Like,
and I thought I was so social, and then I moved and I realized, oh no, I just had the same friends for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I was comfortable, but I'm actually kind of an introvert, and I had no idea about that part of myself until I moved and I was faced with, you have to initiate conversation, you have to make friends, you have to put yourself out there. And it became very scary for a little while.
Yeah. So I will give everyone what I did, because it took me, oh God, it took me weeks to actually reach out to someone. So I used to, when we were in New Orleans, the first thing I did was I joined a gym. And it wasn't like a 24-hour fitness or anything. It was kind of like an athletic club that was right down the street that I could like run or walk to. And so I joined that in hopes that it would bring, you know, me closer to like meeting people. You know, I didn't want to just like go out in town and meet someone on the street or like go out to a bar by myself and meet friends, you know? So I was like, okay, you know what? Let's go to like the gym. And what I did was I went to the same class, the workout class, like I think it was like 3 times a week at the same time, in hopes that the same people would come. And sure enough, the same people came. And you know, it's kind of like it was kind of like I was in school. And we each had, like, it was one of those classes where you had, like, a setup. I think it was, like, Body Blast or something like that. and so we had, like, a setup. So, like, each of us had our setup, and we would set up in the same spot. Kind of like you would sit in the same seat at school. So we would set up in the same spot. And so I was always behind this girl. And it took me weeks to actually like formulate what to say to her, because she looked so nice, and you know, we would exchange like hellos and whatnot. But I finally,
you don't want to blow it the first time.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, I was like, I don't want to seem like I'm a creep. And so I was like, okay, fine. Like, she's seen me enough that like I'm not just this some like stranger. Well, I am a stranger, but like I'm not nobody. Like, she at least knows that I come to this class 3 times a week. Blah, blah, blah. And so I finally said like, hey, my name's Molly. This is, and I said to her, I was like, I know this is super weird, but I'm new to the area. I know absolutely no one. Like, could we like after class go down and like have a cup of coffee together or something? And she was the sweetest, sweetest, sweetest girl. And I mean, that was the beginning. So I mean, we're going on 4 to 5 years of being friends now. We each have two kids. She lives in New Orleans still. We live, you know, in California. We were pregnant together, which was huge, because I, again, this is a whole nother story of me being pregnant while he was deployed, but like that was so pivotal to have someone to be pregnant with together when you feel like you're so alone with your spouse halfway around the world. But yeah, so that's how I did it. I was just honest. I was like, look, I know this is weird, but like I'm new here and my husband's deployed. I know no one. Please be my friend. It just kind of blossomed from there. And she asked me, like, she was like, yeah, actually, I'm going out with my friends like tomorrow to a restaurant. Do you want to come? And I was like, yes, please. Please. I haven't been out to eat in like 2 months. And so, and then it just kind of blossomed from there. So I guess my biggest piece of advice is don't overthink it. Like, just tell the person that you want to like be friends with, like tell them that it's, you know, awkward, you know, validate the feelings that you're feeling and just say, hey, look, this is weird, but like blah, 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 you know? So just don't overthink it. Don't overthink
it. I think that's so important, validating your feelings, because I feel like I was second guessing myself a lot and blowing things out of proportion, but also feeling like I was the only person who felt like that. Mm-hmm. And I was the only person around me who felt intimidated by going on post for the first time, felt, you know, intimidated about just anything. And a lot of us feel like that. That's what I have learned in the last 2 years, is that so many of us feel this way, and it's okay to feel this way. It's okay to feel a little lost. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to struggle. But having that support system that you were talking about, I mean, especially when you don't have family to help you when you're pregnant or with your kids or anything like that, and just to have someone, if you have one person, it changes everything.
It really does.
And a lot, I know that on OSON, we have social clubs that if you just go to their website, I literally will Google, you know, OSON military website. And some places have magazines that you can pick up at the PX that will have all these. They have fitness classes, events, all kinds of stuff, but some have social clubs, and, you know, there's a writing club, there's a game club, like board games, there's sipping crafts. There are things out there for you to meet people. You just got to find something that you enjoy and give it a chance.
Yeah, and it may and then take get a couple out of your tries. Own head. Get out of your own head. And, you know, because it's a lot more intimidating in your head than it actually is. I have a huge issue with, like, you know, over exaggerating things in my head or worrying about things in my head that don't really even matter. Like, I felt like when I went on base for the first time, I literally felt like I'm new stamped across my, like, I'm a new military wife stamped across my head. And like, in reality, like, no one knows you're new. Like, you, that stamp is only in your head. Like, it's in your imagination. So
that
just,
is so true.
And everyone's been new at some point. Like, everyone has been new. It's the first, you know, it's the first for everybody. It's very rare that, well, actually, no, everyone's been a new spouse. At one time in their career, they've been new. So they know what you're going through. Just try and keep in mind that no one knows you're new but you. All right, well, that's all that we have for you guys today. Stay tuned for our next episode. And from our house to yours, we'll see you next time.
MilSpouse House is brought to you by VA Claims Insider. VA Claims Insider is an education-based coaching consulting company for disabled veterans who are exploring eligibility for increased VA disability benefits. VACI was founded in 2016 by Brian Reese, Air Force Service Disabled Veteran and former U.S. Air Force Captain.
BACI currently serves more than 300,000 unique veterans per month across its websites and membership programs. BACI's mission is veterans helping veterans access education-based resources to get the VA disability rating and compensation they deserve.